Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way.
What's up, Adi?
Hey, Michael.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Adi and I have become somewhat well-known in the fitness space for talking about relationships and being really open and vulnerable about our own relationship. It's something that we're so passionate about in our own lives. And so it just feels really natural to share about. And I think it's become like people love it so much because in most industries, in most spaces, no one is talking about it, yet it's one of the most important things to all of us.
Other than in the relationship space.
Like, or like spiritual space or something like that.
Yeah.
Definitely not in the fitness or sport or nutrition space. And so we've talked about this fact a lot. Like the most popular podcast that I've done on the Brute Strength show have been the ones of Adi and I talking specifically about our relationship.
Yeah, relationships are sex. People like
relationships are sex. Yeah. Well, same.
Same.
So I say that to say, like, I think that our next evolution, like the next big thing that I want to see us talking about is
community.
Yes, relationships outside of your intimate relationships.
Platonic relationships.
Platonic relationships or building community. So many people in our personal lives that we talk to are just yearning for deeper relationships.
Oh my gosh, it's so crazy. Like we moved to Austin and I really believe when people say you've manifested something in your life, I think you told me this, like intention plus attention equals manifestation. We've spent all of our time since being here in Austin with the absolute intention to build a community. Both of us live far away from our families and we want to have a community here that we can rely on when we go through hard things because that's just like bound to happen and to celebrate the good things. So we've put a lot of attention on building a community and we're finally in this place where we have a pretty big community around us. And no, we're not like super crazy deep into these relationships, but we've only been here for 3 years and it does take time. But every single one of them talks about this yearning that you're talking about. Every single one of them is like, I want to have deep connections with people. I want to be able to show up for my friends. I want someone that's going to intrude on my life and show up for the best version of me. And that's outside of your primary intimate relationship, right? So I want all of those things from you, and I think it's important for you to like stand for this best version of me, but what if you could have that from your entire community? Like how amazing would your life be?
There are just things that we can't give each other, right? There's things outside of just the intimate relationship. Like we need platonic relationships. We need relationships with same-sex people, regardless of if you're homosexual, heterosexual. We need a variety of different relationships
with
different types of people.
Right? For sure. Yeah.
And everybody just wants to feel, quote unquote, closer to one another. And over the past, I don't know, I guess since I left Salt Lake City, where I went to rehab and I went to Alcoholics Anonymous and I had these like really intense, close-knit experiences with people where the entire basis of our relationship was around vulnerability and deep discussions. Since I left there, I've felt like it's been a real struggle to build and maintain really deep, fulfilling relationships. I've met lots of great people and like I've always felt like there's this hole inside of me since that time, you know?
Yeah.
And I think you can relate to that.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that we were traveling around a lot and we weren't in one place. And we'll kind of talk about that a little bit today on the episode, but we decided to be in one place and that's Austin, Texas. And there's a lot of really cool people here. And today we're going to talk about how we feel we are progressing towards realizing this community that we yearn for. I want to be 90 years old looking back and being like, I have so many amazing characters in my life that love me deeply and I love them deeply. And it's just not just my family and not just you.
Yeah. And at this point in my life, I feel by far the most fulfilled in my social life that I've ever felt.
That's so awesome.
I have some great friends around the world, but I've never felt this sort of sense of community and connection with people. Mm-hmm. There's just a bunch of them,
yeah,
right? And it feels amazing.
Yeah, I'm so pumped to talk about it. There's so much to talk about. If you guys love this episode, share it. If we get lots of listens, we'll be able to tell if it's more popular than other ones. And we will create more episodes about it because I feel like we have so much to share that it wouldn't be able to be in just one. And we'll probably do another episode on it anyways because we really like the topic. I really think that there's a lot we're going to dive into that people can act on right away. Mm-hmm.
So the first one is, this is like kind of how to make friends, but also deepen them. It's like, don't be afraid to make the first move and don't be afraid to be the pursuer. Mm-hmm. So many times in different relationships, I felt like I was putting out so much more effort into hanging out than the other person. And in the past, it really, like my ego would get in the way, yeah, and I would be like, you know what? If they don't want to hang out, I'm not going to keep trying, mm-hmm, right? And there's definitely a case for that with a lot of people. However, I've made the decision that creating relationships is like up there at the top of my priority list, like somewhere near the top. Mm-hmm. And so somewhere in the last few years, I just started to suspend that little thing about myself where I'm not going to be the pursuer and I'm going to make them like meet me 50-50. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've reached out like five times to one in a lot of relationships.
And you just made this decision. I completely and entirely relate to this situation where I'm like, they never ask me to hang out. They probably don't even like me. It just hurts my feelings. Like, I wish they would ask me to hang out. Like, I think there can be instances where it doesn't make sense to continue pursuing a relationship, especially one that's not fulfilling you, that after you hang out with them, they don't make, like, you don't feel like this is a good relationship for you. You feel smaller or less than or have less energy. That might not be a great relationship to pursue, but if you like this person a lot, you can see like a future with them, almost exactly like when you're dating someone, it's worth continuing to pursue it and just get over the whole piece that's, this means anything. Like, maybe they just don't have relationships or they don't realize that it's a high priority for them as well. And so they're just not thinking about it as much as you are. And it probably means nothing. Like, it has nothing to do with you. They're just not thinking about it. And that doesn't mean they don't like you. And it doesn't mean, and I think I've switched it from, I turn it into like a little bit of an opportunity. Like, I get to be the initiator and I'm excited to be the initiator. And I've kind of loved being this person who brings people together. Like, I'm the one who I'm planning an event and I'm the initiator and people, like, I get to bring a bunch of people together and they have such an amazing time. And it just feels really good. It feels really good to be making plans and pursuing somebody. It's kind of like dating. Like, when you're dating, like, you meet a new guy and you're asking him to hang out. It kind of feels a little bit similar to that. And I really like the feeling of, I'm going to make this person be my friend, you know? Like, I say that to you often. Like, I'll meet a girl and I'm like, man, I want to be her friend. And I'll be pretty relentless in, I'm going to force this person to be my friend if it means, like, you know, I'm going to have to keep initiating it. Obviously, I'm not inappropriate. So if I get the vibe that
you're also using like self-awareness, like if it's obvious the person legit doesn't want to hang out,
I'll let go of it. But right. I'm like socially aware. So I know where to draw the line, but I just will be like, I'll be like, let's put something on the calendar 5 weeks from now if you're really busy, you know? So I encourage you guys to initiate, even though, and just try, like, really try not to take it personally. Mm-hmm. Don't try and make it mean more than it actually means.
Mm-hmm. Number two is create rituals. And a great thing to go and do is go watch this YouTube video, this TED Talk by our friend Bea Voce. V-O-C-E. Just Google.
B-A-Y-A.
Yeah. Google Bea Voce TED Talk, and she has an amazing talk on rituals being the route to connection. Mm-hmm. And basically, like, what that means is, like, I have a men's group that I meet with every week.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, you need to tell and share everybody with. So the reason Michael's saying, like, he feels so fulfilled with his social life in large part is because of this ritual that he has. And I want you to explain the ritual, explain why it's so fulfilling, and then we can dive into how other people can create rituals in their life that might not be this one, but this is a great example. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's six of my closest friends here, and we meet every Wednesday at 7 p.m., usually at someone's house, and we'll usually just sit in a circle. Sometimes there we'll designate someone as quote-unquote king, which basically means leader, like the leader of the night, and the leader will facilitate a discussion. Sometimes it's intellectual, like we're talking about an interesting topic, but most of the time it's a sort of invitation to have a deep discussion of some sort. Sometimes that looks like a check-in on like what's going well in life right now, what are our challenges, what are we worried about? And for those of you listening to that, imagine yourself sitting in a group of your closest friends where you're just talking about those things that are going on for you right now and just being real with one another. It's really, really, it can be vulnerable for sure. But by the end of a conversation like that, you are so connected to one another.
Because you just, I would imagine, I mean, we've had these conversations with multiple groups of friends. You just have these group of people that you do it with every single week, which is the ritual of every week. You express something that's challenging to you and it's scary. And you're like, oh my God, maybe they're going to like me less because of it. And then the other five guys express something that's challenging to them. And in most cases, it's probably something you've felt before too. So then you have this experience of like, you love them so much more because you have this shared challenge experience. And if you don't create a space to make it okay to share that type of challenge and be like, I'm not alone. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not alone in feeling these challenges or facing these obstacles or having these fears. And I'm sure oftentimes like one person expresses something and either other people have experienced it or other people can say, man, if I was going through that, I would feel the same way that you're feeling.
Exactly.
And that feels so good.
Exactly. In psychology, they call that like we need the mirroring eyes of others. Mm-hmm. Like we need a mirror in front of us to express ourselves to and then the reflection be that we're okay, we're whole, we're not crazy.
Yeah.
They still love us. They don't think anything less of us.
Yeah.
We need that to be healthy human beings.
Right.
And so that's part of the ritual. Sometimes we'll do something called a sentence stem or different authentic relating techniques. Yeah. And or sometimes people just have like a really interesting, deep question that will just go around the circle.
And sometimes you guys just go for a meal and hang out.
Exactly.
I think the takeaway from this is that ritual means something that you do consistently,
repetitively.
Yes. And it's like, it's like a tradition, like Christmas, you know, every Christmas I do Christmas with my family. That's a ritual that we all have. And because everyone knows that we're going to see each other at that time, you're collecting memories over time and you're spending frequent time with these people. And then it allows you to go deeper and like iterate on the way that you do Christmas. And, you know, it creates these special memories for people that last a really long time. This can look like Michael's is really robust. It can look like anything. For any women or men out there that like The Bachelor, I know a lot of girls that do like a Tuesday night bachelor night and everyone gets together and they watch The Bachelor. They have a glass of wine and they watch The Bachelor. That is equally as much of a ritual. It's just consistently weekly, monthly, however many times you want to do it, finding a way to create a ritual with somebody that you're seeing them repetitively. I have one right now with a couple girlfriends. I really want to do some art things. We're taking a ceramics class together, and it's every single Monday we go to ceramics class. We sit around. We're building these like cool things out of clay, and we're just talking the whole time. And
you made some really deep relationships on in things like that,
yeah.
Like these courses and classes and
yes.
Dance performances.
Yeah. So doing something that you can have good conversation, it could be like going on a walk, it could be you have this like weekly walk that you go on or something just repetitively. Rituals definitely deepen connection with people.
Mm-hmm. So number three is lead in vulnerability. So if you're in this place where you feel like you have some friends and you just like, you want it to be deeper and you want to know them more and you just want it to be more fulfilling, mm-hmm. and it just doesn't feel like it's moving in that direction, then take the leadership role of being vulnerable first. And that could look like talking about, like just bringing up a challenge that you're having in life, something that you're insecure about. You could talk about a fight that you had with a loved one, just something that feels a little uncomfortable to share mm-hmm. that you either need support on or just want
to... You want someone to hear you.
Yeah. And you want to tell this person like, look, I trust you enough to show you this part of myself.
Totally. And then... when you show someone, I trust you enough to share this part of myself, they feel safer to share a part of themselves with you too. And you can start really, really small, like really, really small. Like a fear that I've been having in my head is this, this, this. And it doesn't have to be super big. I mean, I think even the first time you're really vulnerable with somebody, you shouldn't share something like that's crazy wild.
That's called oversharing.
It could become oversharing where someone's like, whoa, this is like too fast for our relationship. Like I'm not ready to take on that much, but it is a great way to be able to build a deeper relationship. Just share something of yourself first.
And then you have permission to ask questions, mm-hmm. right? And you've made it safer for them to answer deep questions.
Yeah, like, have you ever gone through this? You know, I'm really afraid of this. Have you ever felt that way? Mm-hmm. Or has there ever been an experience where you felt that way? And people underestimate how much your friends want to show up for you. And if they don't know that you're going through a challenging time, they don't get the opportunity to show up for you. People love showing up for their friends,
right.
like being there and supporting them and sharing the burden. They want that. They just need to know that you're going through something.
Yeah. In Sebastian Younger's book, Tribe, he actually talks about how our brains evolved to like require that we are needed by people. Mm. Because if we weren't, then we would just try to be like back in tribal times, we would just try to be like lone rangers and people like that wouldn't survive. No right. one could survive on their own.
Yeah.
So we needed to contribute to like be accepted and part of the group.
Yeah.
And so we evolved to like really crave contribution.
Yeah.
So when you don't allow people to see you and support you, you're depriving them of a basic human need.
Of being needed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It feels so good to be needed.
I need you. Number four is actually a really big insight that you had, which is give people more than a couple chances. What do you mean?
Yeah. So when I first started, I think I had this story in my head when we first met of like, I'm just terrible at making friends. I'm not good at making friends. I don't know how to do it. I'm not that cool. People are going to think I'm weird. I'm going to say something. I have this like mild anxiety that lives with me that I'm working on right now of, I used to be at like a 7 out of 10 constantly. And now I think I'm like probably at a 3 out of 10.
What?
Yeah.
This is news.
Is it?
Wow.
Is it?
What a transformation, a 3. That's great.
Yeah, I'm like at a, but it's like a constant buzzing of 3.
Right.
And then when I'm in a more uncomfortable situation, it obviously there's less space for me. So I can go back up to a 7 pretty quickly. And so I think it might be a product of I've had situations in my life where I've met someone and I immediately connected with them. Like you meet someone and it's almost like you knew them in another life and you already have a deep connection and you've never met this person before. A lot of times when you fall in love, that happens. Like I met you and I didn't remember not knowing you very quickly. It's just like there's people that you just click with. That happened to me a couple times. And so because that happened to me, I made this decision that if I meet somebody and that doesn't happen, then it's just not worth being friends. And you once challenged me and you were like, well, do you feel anxious and nervous when you're meeting people? Do you think it's hard for you sometimes to show who you really are? Or, you know, it's worth giving people a chance. Like you're not going to make friends unless you continue to put yourself out there. So I would go and hang out with a group of girls or a girl or a friend or whatever. And it wouldn't be the best time. Like I would just be like, the conversation wasn't that great. We're not really interested in the same amount of things. Like, I don't really know. I'm not sure. But I would hang out with them 3 or 4 more times. Like 3 or 4 more times I would hang out with them before I really came to a conclusion as to whether this person is somebody I want to continue investing time in. Because some people, and now I see it differently. So once I did that, I have a couple people in my life that the first couple times I hung out with them, I'm like, I don't know about this person. Like, they're kind of introverted. They're super shy. We don't have a lot in common. And then by the fifth time I'm hanging out with them, they're a completely different person. They've opened up. They've let their guard down. They laugh and make me laugh. And we have so much fun together. And if I wouldn't have given them three or four chances, I would have never seen that side of them. And I just think that there's some people that it takes them some time. Maybe they've had different experiences than me. Maybe they've had a hard time making friends and they have a guard up, or they've been burned before, or they just have a higher level of anxiety than me. So they have a hard time showing their true self the first couple times that we're hanging out, and it just takes them some time. Maybe they're intimidated. Maybe there's so many reasons as to why you might not know somebody. It doesn't matter if you connect right off the gate. It's worth giving people multiple chances.
I've never really had this thought before, so I don't know if I entirely believe it, but there might be like just a lot of benefit. I feel like the people that you don't immediately click with are probably those that are very different from you. Mm-hmm. And so those are probably the types of people that you can actually learn the most from. So giving them more chances and more time to at least kind of earn your trust and respect and some more of your time and attention could be really beneficial.
Yeah, we're going to have to, maybe we can have a side conversation. We'll noodle about on that one. Guys. We'll noodle on that. We'll come back to our second part two on how to build deep relationships. Yeah, I do think that there could be something to that. Like, especially most people that I meet, I like want to hang out with them because there's something admirable I see in them, like something amazing about them, or and maybe we just don't click right off the bat, but the more time I spend with them, I'm like, oh, that's what's so amazing about them. And I want more of that. And it's very different from who I am. So you could be right.
So number five is pick activities that make connection easier.
This one I think is more for me. I have a really, like, my social anxiety goes up way more when it's an activity like we have to eat dinner and there's nothing to do other than eat your meal and look at the person in front of you. So immediately I'm just like, drinking drinks to get more comfortable, or just eating more so I don't have to talk as much, and or feeling like I need to fill the empty air and saying things that I'm like, I sound so stupid. Like the whole time I'm just like overthinking it. If I want to quiet my mind down a little bit, I'm picking an activity that can occupy my mind, but not so much that I can't have conversation. So something like going on a walk. We're walking side by side. We're not looking at each other. It's less uncomfortable. And then we also have somewhere where that we're going. So there's this like task that my mind can focus on, as well as different things that we're seeing along the way. So we can have conversation topics to have, like, oh my God, how cute was that dog that walked by? Or, you know, just like there's just like things to talk about. Things like that, things like ceramics, like I'm working on. So if there is silence, it's not awkward. It's just I'm working on my ceramic piece.
Playing like board games or cards.
Yeah. Things that don't do this are like going to a movie. So you go to a movie, you're watching the movie. We're not going to be talking and having deep connection during a movie. It's a really fun activity to do. But if you're really trying to build a deep connection with somebody, it's really hard to do in a movie. Things like going to a workout class, unless it's something like weightlifting where there's rest. There's built-in rest where you have opportunity to talk. A CrossFit class is generally hard to do that. Like you have a strength piece at the beginning, but you have to like really work out with somebody for a long time to like have deep connections with them. Like a spin class, you're listening to the instructor the whole time. So doing activities that can occupy your mind to reduce some of the mental chatter, so it, like your mind doesn't have enough space to be talking that much, and still allows you to connect with other people. I think that's a great way to build connection.
I love that one. Number six is be interested rather than being interesting.
Yeah, this is a massive one, especially for me. I really implemented this like a couple weeks ago at a girl's party. So somebody pointed out to me recently, it was a blind spot, where they asked me, do you feel like when you meet people, you have to be who you think they think you are? So whether maybe it's somebody who's like an employee or a client or somebody who's followed me on social media or something like that, or like somebody who I sometimes treat them as like a mentee. Like, we create this, like, mentor-mentee relationship, and I just want to be friends. Like, I don't want to be this person's mentor. And I'm creating that dynamic by being who I think they expect me to be instead of being myself.
Which is what?
Interesting, right?
Mm-hmm. And, like, put together and, like, yeah. Got all your shit dialed yeah. in. Yeah,
so I try and be interesting, and I'm not interested. And what I mean by that is I'm not interested in who they are. And so it immediately creates this like dynamic of I am the mentor and they are the mentee and we're different from one another. So it's hard for us to actually be friends. And people love talking about themselves. People love being asked questions. People love other people that are interested in the things that they're interested in. So I went to a girls' party and I literally said to the group, I said, my intention tonight is to be interested, like as interested as possible. And I'd never met these girls before. And I didn't, they have no idea what I do for a living. They don't follow me on social media. They just like don't know anything about me. By the end of the night, they still knew nothing about me. They knew almost nothing about me. And I got a text message the next day from the girl who ran the event. And she was like, everyone loved you so much. Like,
what did you put in their
yeah,
drink?
Yeah, she was like, everyone thought you were like such a good time, and they really want to hang out again. Like, we need to do this again. She was already initiating another time to hang out, and I think they knew actually almost nothing about me, and I was just very much interested in who they are and what they're about, and that's a really great way to make friends and to build deeper connection because mm-hmm. people want to feel cared about.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I think that there is a nice balance in there yeah. where you want to ask people questions and really be curious about them. And then also don't be afraid to share about yourself because mm-hmm. it's a two-way street and both of you have to be sharing to really build trust.
Yeah. But if you're going to lean in any direction, lean in the interested direction.
Totally.
Don't like not share about yourself. I definitely wasn't doing that. But if you're going to choose to be interesting or interested, choose interested.
Yeah. And when you have two people in a conversation that are both doing that, it just goes by like that. Mm-hmm. It's just so, so engaging and both people are so present and it's the best kind of conversation
yeah,
to be
because
in.
The cool thing about it is – so in that scenario, like they didn't really learn that much about me. But there's often the times where I'm trying to be interested in somebody else and I'm asking them questions and they just want to reciprocate because they're like, most people love talking about themselves, but then at a certain point they realize that they're only talking about themselves and then they'll start asking you questions about you. So instead of me talking about me and then you talking about you and almost it can create this like posturing type of thing, like me because I do this. And then you're like, well, like me because I do this. Instead of that, it's, hey, I want to know this about you. And they're like, okay, well, I just talked about me. Now, what is this about you? It's like asking questions at each other instead of telling each other things about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Creates a really different dynamic.
Love it. So be interested rather than being interesting. That's yes. a really great principle to remember yeah. in relationships. And finally, just remember that if this really resonates with you and you like this conversation and you're trying to cultivate deeper relationships in mm-hmm. your life, realize that it takes time. No matter how good or expert you are at this, building trust with people just takes time because the way that it happens is it happens through vulnerability and you can only take small steps usually unless both people are just like really, really well-versed and on that level.
And like you just usually have to like spend physical time together.
Right. Usually you share something that's a little bit vulnerable and they match it. And then you share something a little more vulnerable and they match it. And together you're kind of like feeling each other out and seeing how much you can trust the other person mm-hmm. and seeing if they still like you and if they still care about you. So it takes time.
Yeah.
Be okay with that.
And it takes time too, like hanging out with this person, creating these rituals, like seeing each other more frequently, having more conversations, having more opportunities to be vulnerable. It takes time. And when we say time, this is not like a couple months. Like it could take years and years to develop deep connection and relationships. And it's really worth investing mm-hmm. in.
And with that said, that fulfillment that you may be looking for is accessible in a single conversation. By mm-hmm. just sharing something about yourself or creating a space for another person to yeah. open up and share themselves.
Yeah, I love that. Even just one, like being present to the one conversation
right.
is fulfilling.
Right. So guys, hopefully you enjoyed this. This is one of the most important topics of conversation in our life. And so, you know, we have a lot of conversations with like-minded people and listeners of the show. And so I think this is really going to resonate with you. Like Adi was saying earlier, if you love it, let us know, and we're going to create more content like this. Also, if you have a specific question that you want to ask and have us answer on the show, like we've been doing in some of the other episodes, go to workingagainstgravity.com/podcast, scroll down to the start recording button, leave your name, where you're from, and a nice concise message in a quiet place. And if it's awesome, we're going to answer it for you. Anything
Thanks,
else?
Guys. No, I think that's it.
Cool. Peace.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram at workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.